Day, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And, of course, we asked the question beginning the program, what will the audio demons bring? Because I can tell just listening in my cans that things are going to be weird again tonight. Oh, joy. It is colder than a well digger's ass out there, here inside the Horn, fabulous Horn Studios. I can tell you that it is a toasty, balmy 58 degrees. Yes, the heated floor mat is on. Continued thanks going out to Sparky for that. Yes, oh, very much. Yes, thank you. Yes, indeed. It is the 12th day of January 2016. It is State of the Union night. Oh, bliss. Well, how strange. Nope, that's right. Damn. Yeah, that's right, that's right. Oh, for pity's sakes, here we go again. Stand by, please. Check, 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 check.
Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy some more. Oh, for pity's sakes. We're finally on the air. I started right on time, I promise. Honest to goodness, I did. I really, really did. I started on time without a problem. I was right here in the studio waiting for the magic moment to arrive for 5:59:59 to turn into 6:00:00, and I pressed the button and I started talking, and everybody said, oh, funny, I can't hear anything from Bob. God damn it! There. My moment of extreme unprofessionalism has now passed, at least for this evening. Jeremy in Vermont says, live, loud, and clear on TuneIn, Bob. Thank you kindly, Jeremy. I cannot tell you how much I do appreciate. I'm not that, and I'm not being a smartass. No. No. Well, we're going to pretend that 11 minutes didn't just get completely wasted. Yeah, okay. I'm answering a bajillion questions. Hey, you're not there, you're not there. I hope everything's okay. Thank you very kindly, one and all. we're back. We're back. And we've it's a good thing too, because we've got a Titanic Tuesday to deal with. We really, really do. And we can start where we left off last night, or we can look at some Titanic intel. Goodness gracious! Yeah, we got lots of potential here. How about remember, Titanic Tuesday is named for the Titanic intellect. That we so often see in evidence all around Merca here, and occasionally all around the world. Yes. Good God Almighty, what's with all the messages? Okay, thank you. Our buddy the Angry Indian is out there sharing the link to the program and letting folks know what's going on here. Thanks, Angry. Thanks so very much. I really do appreciate it. No, we've got a lot of Titanic intellect to celebrate, if celebrate is the correct word. Here on this 12th day of January, 2016, State of the Union night. Mm-hmm. And a gentle reminder as we get going on the program this evening. Let's see here. Let me check something real quick. That's what I thought. God almighty, what's taking so long? Okay, just wanted to make sure. Just a mention here. We've got a great gang queued up and happily chatting away over in the Horn chat room. You can be part of it, too. Just head over to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, and you'll join in with a merry band. Dwayne, Jeremy, Jugapunch, King of Cups, Little Gray, R.L. Smith, Texas T, Trey, are all, and they're all capably moderated by longtime and veteran, indefatigable veteran chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Yes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully you, all you got to do is pick out a screen name and a password, and you're right there. You're right there in the midst of the real-time multimedia madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. We try to we try to operate this as frugally as possible. We are a little independent broadcast operation. There are no great big money checks coming in from George Soros or most any the liberal billionaires. Just that they can't find us. Yeah. Apparently, we don't know the right folks who know them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you very kindly, Jason. He says, got you on Stitcher loud and clear in frozen Florida. Oh, stop it with your frozen Florida, please. Trust me, you didn't want to hear that sneeze. Maybe it is cold in Florida. It is, it's colder here. Let's see. We're gonna see some pretty nasty single digits tonight. The low tonight is 12, and hey, next Sunday the low's 9. I guess we're gonna have some winter. Yeah, hot diggity. We got a little snowstorm earlier today. It's almost behaving like winter should be around here in Appalachistan. By the way, over at FYINation.com. You can check out the gang over there. They'll be starting their live coverage of the State of the Union at about 8:30 p.m. this evening. But no, all kidding aside, this is a listener supported effort. And after, well, let's put it this way, the fundraising goal for tonight is, well, every night's fundraising goal is $200. The fundraising goal for tonight is $380. So hopefully there's 38 folks with 10 bucks a piece out there, or 10 people at 38 bucks a piece, or one person at 380, or two people at 190, or four people at 95, four at 95, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that we don't wind up with something on the order of a $500 fundraising. No. No, tomorrow's prayer meeting, Wednesday fundraising goal, if we don't do any good tonight, will be $580. And, wow, I don't even like to think about that. So, just you know, bear that in mind. Mm-hmm. It's State of the Union Tuesday. Will Samuel, and the big question is, will Samuel Alito come slithering out from whatever rock he lives under and attend the State of the Union tonight? Probably not. Probably not. Because he hasn't been back since he offered up that terrifying head nod, shake of the head to Barack Obama when he, Barack Obama, said, and truthfully, that the Supremes had opened the floodgates to filthy money in politics with their odious Citizens United decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. So I doubt if he'll be back. It's a pretty sure thing that Uncle Nino Tony Scalia will not be back. Yes. In answer to your question, Robert in Australia, our Sunday low is 9 degrees Fahrenheit. That's minus 12 centigrade. Robert says, I've only ever experienced that in a walk-in fridge. Crikey. Brass Monkeys. Oh, they won't. No, no. They don't go play outside in this kind of weather. The Brass Monkeys don't. Nope, sorry. Mm-mm. No, what I said, Uncle Nino Scalia, America's favorite fascist, will not attend this evening. In 2013, on one of those public speaking engagements at which he so much enjoys talking about what a brilliant man he himself, Uncle Nino Scalia, is. In 2013, he said, "The State of the Union has turned into a childish spectacle." Mm-hmm. So he probably won't be there tonight. In that same speech in 2013. Uncle Nino said, "I don't want to be there to lend dignity to it. But of course, even if I was there, I wouldn't be lending any dignity because I don't have any dignity to lend. Hell, who am I kidding? I ain't got no dignity. I'm Uncle Nino." Leave the Constitution. Take the cannoli. And apparently, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future King of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American and whose mother may have been a Canadian voter. We've got to add that now.
Don't say nothing about mama.
No, it's true. It's true. It's true. Mike, one of our mics, pointed that out to me. Apparently, Rafaelito's mama appears on a list in the 70s of Canadian people eligible to vote in Canadian elections, a list which was rather meticulously developed and fastidiously maintained, which would mean that maybe he ain't the American he thinks he is. You know, just operating on the American. Because, see, there's no list out there showing that, say, oh, I don't know, Barack Obama's mama was eligible to vote in any Kenyan elections or anything like that. No. So there's never been any question, well, except in the minds of the birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, and booger eaters, about whether he was eligible to be, and, you know, Orly Tates. No. But so Rafaelito won't be there, but Sister Clerk Kim Davis will, and that's about as much as much mention as that odious lump of codswallop deserves, probably more than she deserves. She and her lawyer, Matt Staver from the Liberty Council, you remember that 501c whatever tax-exempt lawyer and pettifogging grifting outfit, they're going to be there at the invitation of representing Jim Jordan of Ohio. Yes, bless her heart. She wanted to be there so that she could just, with her very angelic presence, perhaps offer up imprecatory prayers, to call that one, in our that Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House, it caused him to just go up in flames. she's gonna pray him right out of the presidency. Cause see, him and that Supreme Court majority, they took away all of poor Sister Clerk Kim Davis's religious rights. She doesn't feel free to hate people for who they love anymore, and deny them the right to be getting married and such. Yes, I know. It's just terrible. But she's gonna be there. But the other thing is, you know why she's there? Because the Family Research Council, which of course is headed by um, uh, Tony, Norman, yes, Mother Bates, Perkins, they had a hissy because, see, the Kenyan Muslim usurper has invited Jim Obergefell, the plaintiff in the case that bears his name, to attend the State of the Union. And the Family Research Council didn't like that one bit because it was the Obergefell decision that led to Kim Davis having to go to jail because she wouldn't do her damn job.
Right.
As our buddy the Angry Indian notes, will he mention the Oregon standoff? I don't know. Would you want, if you were president, would you do that? Would you mention the Patriots out there? And Sparky sent me a photograph last night. Now apparently they've got people walking around in 18th century military garb. They've got a George Washington out walking up and down in the snow pretending that it's Valley Forge. God. Yeah. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Steve says, it seems to me, particularly in this election season, it's one perpetual Moran Monday. The parade seems never to be at an end, doesn't it? And it seems to be one, you know, usually the people come along after the parade and clean up the horse and the elephant and it's such leavings. It's endless. It is endless. So I understand what you're getting at. They're settling in for a long winter there in Valley Bird Sanctuary Forge. And, you know, whatever money got spent on snacks, they're probably going to have to up their fundraising. Because a federal judge, and as noted, they've been tearing down fences. Mm-hmm. A federal judge has said that he will start fining people. Harney County Judge Steve Grasty went to a meeting last night in which a lot of people evinced their displeasure with these ignorant babies. Judge Steve Grasty said at the meeting that the occupation, the invasion, the sedition, please, can we talk about it in those terms, had thus far cost taxpayers somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000 per day. And he said, we're going to send Mr. Bundy the bill. And you know what? Maybe Ammon can't cover it, but Cliven can. He's got a million head of cattle, or near a million head of cattle, that are out there munching on free grass that he steals from, you know, you, me, we, the people. I had a buddy down in southern West Virginia once who referred to, in speaking about his own hard times growing up, referred to cattle as slow elk. And I say we, the people, need to go and just have a big old barbecue with some of Cliven's prized beef flesh. Why not? Let's go and dispossess him of some of his property, the way that his son is dispossessing all of the people of the United States of ours. Shall we? Judge Grasty went on and said, no matter how you feel, do not bring food and supplies up to the refuge. And that's the wildlife refuge, not the Patriot Refuge. Meanwhile, John Ritzheimer, who is, as we say around here, dumber in the head and the hog is in the ass. Well, he put out a message. You're going to love it. Remember the one from where he was apologizing to his youngins for not being there for Christmas or New Year's? Because daddy has to do this because daddy is an attention whore. No insult intended toward people working in the sex trade. An honorable profession. Whereas John Ritzheimer is, well, you know, the member of the Hee-Haw Caliphate and an idiot. And I got a fascinating article, a really thought-provoking article from Bob in Texas today. And I'd like your thoughts on it. You know, we use phrases like Y'al-Qaeda, Yokel Haram, Vanilla ISIS, Hee-Haw Caliphate, things like that. And the question is, should we be doing that? The article comes from Truthout. It is titled, Bundy's Oregon Occupation is Capitalist at its Core. There's a picture of Ammonius Bundy. That would be your Latin masculine. Wouldn't want to accuse him of being neuter or feminine or anything. He'd probably get all upset and go and occupy a goddamn goldfish bowl or something. Ammonius Bundy, a picture of him there, talking inside a building. Is it traditional out in the Merkin West of Merka? The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Amen! Hallelujah. Is it traditional out in the West for men to wear their cowboy hats inside buildings, in the house? Is that something that's just gone? I was always taught that you take your hat off in the house if you're male. I guess women don't have to, but men do. But I got a picture here of Ammonius Bundy standing there talking about Feed'em and Wolverine. Wait a minute. Wolverines! There in some building somewhere, a forum hosted by the Merkin Academy for Constitutional Edumacation. Jesus. But this article at Truthout, and it's an opinion piece, suggests that maybe there's a little bit, it's a little bit more than wrong to be using these phrases like Yokel Haram and Hee-Haw Caliphate and Vanilla ISIS and Y'al-Qaeda. Mal-Ur, I finally learned, is actually a French colloquialism for tragedy or disaster, which is what befell the Northern Paiute people. Coming in from Australia, Jennifer says, okay, enough is enough. Get them out of there. This is surreal. I received a signed petition request from Daily Kos. Add your name to those urging President Obama to take a stand for abortion rights. Okay, sedition is a crime. Abortion is a constitutionally protected right. Oh, my God. Yeah. And it's funny, that whole right to control the inner workings of one's reproductive system, at least among the women folk, is you know, it may be a constitutional right, but it's not a constitutional right up with which our white wing are willing to put. But the author of this article at Truthout notes those humorous references to the whiteness of the Bundys and their followers also carry with them an often unacknowledged classism These gleeful caricatures of bumbling redneck militants, moreover, gloss over the political economy of the ranching industry that has inspired the actions of the Bundys and their allies. In so doing, they miss what's really at stake. Noting that the terms I've just mentioned reify that terrorism somehow is always Muslim, even when carried out by an overwhelmingly white group of ranchers from Nevada and other western states. The y'all and the vanilla and the yokel modify the default frameworks for understanding what terrorism is in the contemporary moment, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and Boko Haram. But they don't displace or even really critique it. And you know, maybe that goes to my years-long use of the appendage suffix stan to the ignorant, benighted, redneck states of the Confederacy that have since expanded into other areas of the country. What do you think? I mean, it's your call. You tell me. Maybe we could actually have a discussion about this. Now, here's how it all turned. Here's how it all worked out there in what was then the Northern Paiute Reservation. It was created by the federal government in the 1870s, but the reservation was dissolved after the Bannock War of 1878. But even after that, many Northern Paiutes remained in Harney County, Oregon. And it took Indian Country Today to explain that both the Burns Paiute Tribal Office and the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge today sit where the Malheur Reservation once did, on land where Northern Paiutes have lived for centuries. It's a pretty fascinating history here. For instance, historian Mark David Spence pointed out back in 1999 in a book called Dispossessing the Wilderness, Indian Removal and the Making of the National Parks, that the creation of the national parks had a certain whiteness about it to create preserves of the last remaining wilderness. And wilderness itself is even a loaded phrase because it presumes that there was nobody there. And in order to create these wilderness preserves, the people who were there had to be run off or killed. A quote from historian Spence, "Uninhabited wilderness had to be created before it could be preserved." And the author of this this Truth Out article says, "The preservation of nature thus functioned as an enclosure of the commons, a process that lies at the heart of the historical and ongoing process that Karl Marx termed so-called primitive accumulation." Very much a thought-provoking piece, and it closes noting that at a January 6th press conference, leaders of the Burns Paiute tribe demanded that the occupiers leave. Tribal chair Charlotte Rodrique accused the Bundy militia of desecrating a sacred site, which, of course, they don't give a rat's ass about doing because sacred is something that only applies to their underwear. Freaks. Tribal council member Jarvis Kennedy, in that same January 6th press conference, recounted the violent history of the Northern Paiute's dispossession and said, "We weren't removed, we were killed." And then told the patriots, "Get the hell out." Will they do so? I'm guessing the answer is probably no. Yeah. So anyway, back to Patriot John and Grifter. Let's not leave Grifter out. John Ritzheimer. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, says, "Hey, I'm calling the Patriots shit names." Yes. Yes. Proof of ignorance. Here, let's go, let's go to John Ritzheimer.
What's going on, everybody? So we went and picked up some mail that came in from, you know, a lot of the supporters. But along with that mail, we got an abundance of the hate mail, and it was really mind blowing to me that people would actually spend their money. You know, this box right here, $17.90. They spend and waste their money on all this hateful stuff to send out here to us. And buy this ridiculous stuff. I got.
Somebody sent him a dildo. And it blows his mind, except for the fact he has no mind to blow. Oh, by the way, Jennifer in Australia noting, I love Carol Baker. We all do. That's why we are happily minions. Yes. Back to you, John Ritzheimer, idiot.
It's really ridiculous. Even this one was really funny. A bag of dicks. So rather than going out.
Well, that's because they are a bag of dicks. Yes. Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You dick!
Uh-huh.
Out and doing good, you know, they just spend all their money on hate and hate and hate and hate. So.
No, dipshit. They're not spending money on hate. They're spending money on making fun of you. Because you're not serious. Because you are dumber in the head than a hog is in the ass. Because you are creatures fit for mockery. You self-mock with all of your blithering blather about what the Constitution really means. And about how they ripped the Constitution so you could have some free grazing rights in Oregon. And set fire to stuff and have no consequences for it.
We're going to create a table and we're going to continue to do work and do good for our country.
Oh my, wasn't that sexy? He took his manly, formerly military, highly tattooed arms and he pushed all the dildos off the table. Goodness gracious, I'm certainly more impressed with you now, John Ritzheimer.
We're not going to be deterred. We're not going to let you all your junk.
No, you're not going to be deterred. Nobody's taking your turd away. You are fully turd. Absolutely, John Ritzheimer.
Can hate mail sidetrack us, and we're going to continue to do what's right for our country. For the rest of you patriots out there that are still twiddling your thumbs, debating whether or not you should come out, well, now's the time. If you want to be part of history in the making, you need to get out here, and you need to show some support. And I'm not talking about coming out here and being an outside perimeter. Come here and be a patriot. Come here and stand up for your country. Do what's right. Enough talk. Now it's time for action.
You're damn right. It's time for action. Uh-huh. And you know what? I think I agree with John Ritzheimer. Let's let this go on for a little while longer. Let's get a whole bunch of these birthers, deathers, baggers, ninthers, tenthers, deathers, and booger eaters, and birchers, and libertarians, and Republicans out there. Let's let this turn into a sedition magnet. Let's see how many people there are in this country who want to take up arms against we the people, and then let's send in a few drones. Good idea? I think it's a capital idea. A capital punishment idea. I know, I don't support capital punishment, but in this case, I don't think we're going to have to worry about any people of color being unfairly and unjustly executed. Haven't heard anything along those lines. Have you? Are there any dusky patriots out there? Isn't that one of the words they like to use? Dusky. Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Now, meanwhile, I mentioned that they did have a meeting last night in Burns, Oregon. It featured Judge Grasty. It featured Sheriff Ward saying, get the f*** out of here. But of all the people who stepped up to take the microphone in hand, it was 15-year-old Ashley Presley who really put the whole damn thing in perspective. And let us give her her moment, shall we? She damned well deserves it.
I'm 15 and I'm a freshman in high school. And
she's composing herself.
Being here with all of this honestly has scared me. And it shouldn't. I should not have to be scared in my own hometown. I know that all of my friends have been scared and have come here to know what to do. And I have to be the one to tell them that it's going to be okay, that everything's going to be okay. I shouldn't have to be scared, and none of us in Kearney County should have to be scared in our own hometown.
I'm scared, and I shouldn't have to be scared in my own hometown. Now, who is she scared of? Is she scared of the jackbooted thugs of the jackbooted federal government's going to come and put its jackbooted jackboots down on her freedom-loving neck, and that's neck right next to her Confederate flag tattoo and that other tattoo that says, only God can judge me? No, that's not what she's scared of. She's scared of Ammonius Bundy and John Ritzheimer. She's scared of that bunch of freaks, those ignorant pigs who call themselves patriots, that have invaded her county and caused her world to go into chaos. Because, see, she introduces herself as a high school freshman. She got cheated out of a solid week of education that she wants by these numbnuts. I admit, I'm really hard-pressed to come up with enough ugly things to call these disgusting... See? These hooligans. These thugs. And I really am at the end of my patience. I'm sick and tired of watching we the people be abused by a bunch of petulant, ignorant... turds. And I would very much like to have some redress of our grievances. Now, it probably would be overkill, in the purest sense of the word, to go in and just drone the living bejesus out of them. But God Almighty, round them up, put them in prison, give them due process. Charge them for the terrorists and seditionists that they are, and let them be a message to other people who harbor sedition and treason in their hearts. Because I say it again, if we do not, then this crap will start popping up all over. Ignorant, scared, pissed off white people taking their country back. Yes, indeed. Jennifer S. Aren't they literally the original Morans? Wasn't it a tenther in a tri-cornered hat with a fife and drum who held the misspelled sign? Well, no, not exactly, Jennifer. It was a pro-war idiot with a do-rag on his head and a Cardinals T-shirt who went out to a counter-protest of a peace rally somewhere near St. Louis and carried the now infamous sign that said, "Get a brain, morons. Go USA." And I don't know if you've seen it, and that's what happens every time they abuse otherwise mistreat someone at a tea rump rally. That's what happens as the thugs come to drag them out for doing something peaceable like wearing a Bernie button. No, really, people have been abused in Vermont for wearing a Bernie button. A Muslim woman was abused in a tea rump rally for wearing her headgear. And the crowd there always chants, USA, USA, USA. And the hate and the vitriol that comes through that chant is palpable. John Ritzheimer with his little temper tantrum there over the dildos and the bag of dicks and so forth. Carol points out he's mad because I didn't send analese. That would be socialism. I want it to hurt real good. So, I guess that's where we stand out in Burns. In other words, continuing to countenance sedition and cutting white folks a break, wealthy white folks a break, for a level of stupidity that probably would have cost people of color their lives. Mm-hmm. Speaking of T-Rump, Ron in Raleigh says, when T-Rump made his appearance in Vermont, as he was having a protester ejected, he told the police to keep the protester's coat because it was freezing outside. Yeah, he told him to take away the person's coat. Ron says, "I've said it before, Repiglicans are a truly mean-spirited bunch, but the T-Rump followers are a particularly nasty one." Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marty says of the Hee-Haw Caliphate, "Those people have no true sense of humor. Stop wasting precious brain power and wit on them." Meanwhile, Steve in New York says, subject line, Ritzheimer, "I like Ritz crackers. Please call him Crackerheimer. Seems more appropriate anyway." Oh, I like that. I like that. I think that's got potential. Absolutely. And, you know, here on Titanic Tuesday, we celebrate everything from serious attempts at cognition on the part by the way, Carol Baker points out, Crackerheimer is collecting fucking disability, but he's not so hurt he can't get out there and tear down fences. And see, if that shoe was on a colored foot, some right wing gas bag, say from Arkansas, would be hooting and hollering about how most of the people on disability in America ain't really disabled. But see, John Crackerheimer, he's disabled because he was a servant of his country. America,
the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes. Jennifer says, I fear for my country. I am this close to naturalizing down here, but a thread of hope by the name of Bernie Sanders keeps me from letting go and watching my home disappear into the mists. Well, Jennifer, I don't want to rain on anybody's parade. I want Bernie elected. In fact, I've got an excellent note here from Steve in Vermont. Who made it very clear where he stands regarding Bernie. But I'll be honest, Bernie is a hope. If Bernie is elected president, Bernie is a hope. To quote Abraham Lincoln, the last best hope of earth. That's what Abraham Lincoln said about the United States. Well, we have long since stopped being that. We are the greatest likelihood to be killed if you're a brown person on earth country, I guess. If, in fact, I was to offer you advice, I would advise you to, Jennifer, to go ahead and naturalize. And I'll bet you I'll get emails from the Oz contingent of the Horn Family Commune congregation saying, "Welcome aboard." Go ahead. Do it for those of us who can't. Do it for those of us who would in a trice were we but able. But again, in regard to Bernie, a note from Steve in Vermont. Thanks for the great work you do every night, Steve says. I want you to know I know Bernie and he won't quit. And Steve offers the following. When the waters poured into Atlantis, the rich men still screamed for their slaves. That's a quote from Bertolt Brecht in Questions from a Worker Who Reads. Steve writes, think about a Trump administration. People are told that radical Islam will be wiped out. No causes and conditions here. Keep on walking. We'll be cleansed of undesirables. Make America great again. The world will be peaches and cream, and we are the ones with the guns. We will call the shots. The strong man is us, and we are the strong man. It doesn't have to have a name. It becomes the ocean we swim in. We will try to survive in a coercive and violent society. We will communicate in uncomplicated and vulgar ways. When the time comes for reckoning, it will be too late. The question becomes, how do we avoid such a situation? Ignorance, as defined, is lack of knowledge or wisdom. Stupidity, as defined, is behavior that shows a lack of good sense or judgment. When you put them together, you've really got something. The reality facing us is the increasing number of complicated and interrelated problems in the world today that require intelligence and cooperation. One can deny them and one can obstruct them, but when we are overwhelmed by them, the result will be extreme chaos and suffering. Every candidate for office has flaws. What needs to be determined is, are these flaws fatal or are they workable and consistent to the question of how can we organize our society in a more humane way? Forget the word salad and euphemisms of the right. There's no humane way on the right. Nihilism breeds nihilism and loss of faith in human capacity. I heard Bernie's campaign being described as extremist by Hillary supporter Robert Meacham on Morning Joe the other day. Workers' rights, a just and fair economic system, accessible education and job opportunities, a sane foreign policy, health care, clean air, water, and environment. Yep, that's extremism, all right. The Clinton campaign has been known for going negative, and predictably, it's happening again. The inevitability around the Clinton campaign has become nervousness as Bernie surges and his message resonates with Democratic voters. A Hillary Clinton nomination victory does not necessarily translate into a general election victory. Even against a grotesque carnival barker like Trump. Trump's an adaptable creature, and his simplistic view of the world, coupled with voter apathy, can doom the Clinton campaign in the final round. A Bernie-Trump race has the potential for a distinct contrast, dare I say, between good and evil, and voters will be able to tell the difference. The first step is winning the nomination. Support Bernie. Vote for Bernie. And I think that's clearly and cogently expressed, and I agree. I do. Now, interestingly, something just landed a few minutes ago from the New York Times. Breaking news, they sent this out as a breaking news alert. That says something in and of itself, does it not? Just a little bit ago, the breaking news alert from the New York Times was about some U.S. sailors who were in boats that violated territorial waters of Iran being captured by Iran, and Iran saying, well, they'll be returned. But they wanted to prove that the U.S. boats were snooping into Iranian territorial waters, which, you know, they probably were. It's called recon, right? Militaries do it all the time. But I couldn't help thinking that where the sailors will be promptly returned to the U.S. Navy, man, had that been some Iranians in little boats, they'd be on their way to Allah by now, wouldn't they? We don't do any of that capturing and sending them back where they came from. We just unleash some high caliber automatic weapons fire and maybe lob a couple of rounds of God only knows what at them and just blow them into their constituent molecular pieces and say that they shouldn't ought to had no business getting anywhere near a U.S. warship vessel that's over somewhere that it doesn't have any business being. Because Merca,
the greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever, indivisible, under God, amen, hallelujah. Wolverines.
Mm-hmm. So that was a few minutes ago, but bang, just a few minutes ago, as a breaking news alert, this headline from the New York Times, an article by Thomas Kaplan and Dahlia Sussman, Hillary Clinton's lead over Bernie Sanders slipping in new poll. Mm-hmm. They write, as the first nominating contest approaches, Hillary Clinton's commanding lead nationally in the Democratic primary has largely melted away, according to the latest New York Times CBS News poll. Oh, that's encouraging. Melted away. The tightened race between Mrs. Clinton and Senator Bernie Sanders of Vermont is revealing a sharp generational divide within the Democratic Party, with primary voters under 45 favoring Mr. Sanders by a roughly 2-to-1 ratio. Yet more than 7 in 10 Democratic voters, including most supporters of Mr. Sanders, still believe Mrs. Clinton will ultimately win the party's nomination. We got to stop that. Voters express deeper confidence in her ability to be an effective commander-in-chief, and more of her supporters say their minds are made up compared with Mr. Sanders' backers. What the? Well, I've said for a while that we need to worry about that. Because while the Clintonistas, at least the ones I see on Facebook, and I've frankly cleared a lot of them out because they're obnoxious, while they profess undying devotion to Senator Clinton and feel no compunction whatsoever against hurling smears against people who support Senator Sanders, well, I keep trying to tell them, you know, y'all need us Bernie folks more than we need you. Because there's a whole lot of that hashtag Bernie or bust going around. Yes, indeed. Overall, 48%, wow, this is on a national basis. 48% of Democratic primary voters across the country support Mrs. Clinton, while 41% back Mr. Sanders. That's down from a 20 percentage point margin just 1 month ago. She's falling apart. This is Bernie's race to win. And all it requires is dedication and tireless, unending work, often volunteer work, the on the ground door knocking, campaigning, organizing work that Bernie can't do. Only you, me, we can do. And I want to put something out there just for consideration. You know, the who knows, but still. By the time the drawing is held tomorrow night, the Powerball jackpot will probably be $1.5, $1.6 billion, and the actual cash payout will be $1 billion or more. Somebody is going to be a billionaire in the blink of an eye. And most of us being progressive, liberal, what have you, decent people, you know, not the Crackerheimers and of the world and the ammonium Bundys and no, ammonium Fosdex, the shaving cream molecule. No, but we being decent people, we think about all the people we would like to help if we had a great big, nearly unspendable pile of money like that. And I got to thinking, What if a Bernie supporter won that jackpot? What if somebody who really wanted to make a difference in this country won that jackpot? Now, with the cash payout probably going to be $1 billion, and after taxes, say you got maybe $666 million of it left, what would happen if a Bernie supporter took, say, $100 million of it and poured it into Bernie's campaign? You know, create your own super PAC. You can do that now. Money is speech, my friends. And poured it into making sure that Bernie wins, say, the primaries in California and New York and Texas. And early one, you could probably buy the South Carolina Democratic primary in terms of advertising and outreach. You could, $1 million would probably do that, just spent in South Carolina. What if somebody decided to do that? Wouldn't that be amazing? Anyway, the New York Times continues and says, Mr. Sanders' shifting fortunes underscore the unsettled state of the presidential race in both parties with just 3 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. Oh, my, it's a horse race story. Banana peel is slipping by, sliding by on the rail. And apparently, in the New York Times style manual, the word month slong has now become a word. Thought you'd find that interesting. Month slong. Oh, I'm sorry. That's months long. Okay. I thought maybe they were letting Donald Trump. No, that was schlong, wasn't it? That needs a CH in between the S. It never kind of fits. Mr. Sanders' surge, they write, has clearly unnerved the Clinton campaign, and she is responding aggressively. Meanwhile, another poll from Quinnipiac University says he's on the rise in Iowa, and Monmouth University gives him a double-digit lead in New Hampshire. Meanwhile, as the article notes, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton has gone on the attack, questioning whether he's electable and accusing him of being weak on gun violence. And let me take a moment to address that, because all electoral politics is to a certain extent a balancing act. And we compare various candidates' abilities on certain issues, and we make our decisions accordingly. The President of the United States, as Barack Obama has shown, is almost entirely powerless to do much about the proliferation of firearms in the United States. The pathetic, the well-intended, yet inarguably weak measures that he took in the form of executive action last week aren't much. So I would suggest we analyze this way. As between the two candidates, as President of the United States, Bernie Sanders will be every bit as good as Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton as regarding firearms. Okay? On the other hand, let's talk about Wall Street and banking financial reform. From a presidential standpoint, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton cannot get within 50 statute miles of Senator Sanders in that regard. There's no doubt that Bernie will address the firearms issue and will address it capably, passionately, and intelligently. There is no person more opposed to the disgusting proliferation of firearms violence in this country than I, and I have absolute confidence in his abilities on the issue. But where the economy is concerned, no. No, Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton can't touch Bernie Sanders with a 20-foot battle lance. And that's not being mean to Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. It's just what her politics are. She is beholden to and in fealty to Wall Street and the investment banking industry. She said it herself. I was the senator for Wall Street. Now, she's trying to catch up with the financial issue. Yesterday, as this article points out, she proposed a tax surcharge on people who earn more than $5 million a year. The New York Times describes that as exploiting an issue that has energized Mr. Sanders' supporters. Is it gonna convince Senator Sanders' supporters that she's serious about it, that she's earnest about it? Frankly, the cynic, the political grown up and cynic might well say that you can propose that all day long. It ain't gonna happen unless you've got a real Congress working with you. Meanwhile, the article also addresses itself to T. Rump. Kevin Jarrell, 41, of Proctorville, Ohio, said, "I think he's going to try to do what's best for the working man. He's got money, so he's not going to try to do what's best for him. He's going to try his best to create jobs, and he's going to shut out the refugees." Oh, for pity's sakes. The article also notes that Ben Carson's, well, he's just gone. He's down to a 6% rating among Republican voters. Well, maybe if he threatens to hit you with a hammer, you'll come back to him. Birthers, deathers, baggers. Ninthers, tenthers, deathers, booger eaters. Maybe you will. 55% of so-called self-identifying liberals support Senator Sanders, 40% support Mrs. Clinton, and if you're a self-identified liberal, well, then what are you thinking? Older voters favor Mrs. Clinton, younger voters favor Mr. Sanders. 51% of self-identified moderates support Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton. 33% of moderates back Mr. Sanders. Again, she needs the Sanders vote a hell of a lot more than he needs hers. Mm-hmm. Thomas, in an email under the subject line "Hillary tax," says she's going to tax Hillary's. She's going to tax Hillary's best supporters. Oh, that mean secretary senator from Wall Street! I'm sure she'll write in a loopy hole. Signed, Bernie Bunch, Tom. P.S. Bernie will win if we make it happen. Yeah, and therein, as Carol points out, lies the rub. Older voters, the ones who support Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, they're more likely to go and vote. Young people love Bernie, but they don't necessarily get out and cast ballots. Robert in Australia points out, "I saw the first Clinton movie. It doesn't need a sequel." Meanwhile, Randy in PA asks, "What about the superdelegates, Bob? What about them?" I know. There are people out there, "Yeah, but the superdelegates are all committed. I mean, she's got all of them except for like two." You know what? The most sure-fired way to make sure that a Republican enters the White House would be for these so-called superdelegates to go against the will of the people. If Bernie Sanders has the national will of the people, or what in ancient China was referred to as the mandate of heaven, and the superdelegates say, "No, little proles, we know better than you. You can't have that man who actually wants to save America. You've got to take Dr. Senator Secretary Clinton, because we just know better." Then that is a guaranteed President Trump. Or maybe a President Rubio. Like I was starting to say earlier, we cover everything from the macro to the micro, from the grotesque to the sublime. There is a bit of a kerfuffle out there over Marco Rubio's high-heeled shoes. Yes, really. Uh-huh. He has been spotted wearing some designer boots with stacked heels. And, of course, the Rubio campaign, Rubio tweeted or said something like, yeah, what have we come to when we're worried about my high-heeled shoes? Well, he didn't say high-heeled. See, there's this historical trend that little short people, and no offense to short people, but in American history, we don't elect short presidents. And Marco Rubio is 5'10". I mean, if you stood him next to Barack Obama, he'd look well, tiny. And Barack Obama's an inch or two taller than me. But even the New York Times reported on what was described as Senator Marco Rubio's shiny stack-heeled ankle boots. Then Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American, and a woman who apparently became a Canadian citizen and was eligible to vote in a Canadian election, his communications director said, a vote for Marco Rubio is a vote for men's high-heeled booties. Mm-hmm. Then Rand Paul, on that thing on his head, said, Rubio has those cute new boots, and I don't want to be outdone. Oh, because she's just so precious. Carly Fiorina. She came out with a tweet showing her her spiky-heeled little boots that she uses to step on the little people at Hewlett-Packard. And she said, yeah, at Marco Rubio, but can you rock these? Uh-huh. Squint, Morning Squint, copyright Charlie Pierce, referred to Rubio's footwear as shagalicious. But it all comes down to the fact that somewhere, some well-paid millionaire campaign consultant has said, hey, Rubio, yeah, come here, put these on. Mm-hmm. You need a little height. America does not, the United States does not elect short presidents. And you're not looking real presidential there next to T-Rump when it looks like you're his freaking nephew. Oh, hang on here. So, So Taft, Roosevelt, Kennedy, Johnson, Ford, and Reagan were over 6 feet. Bush, Clinton, and Obama over 6 feet. 80% of all elections in the 20th century were won by the taller candidate. And so, apparently, his chuck-a-boot is a problem. Now, all we have to do to remedy this situation, all Rubio has to do, is to get the idea of stacked heel platform shoes that were big for men in the disco era. Just get them back. Padrino Whale Bones. That was one of the brands. But oh my God. And it got really ridiculous there for a little bit. So again, from the grotesque to the sublime, and I'm not sure where Marco's booties fit. The author of this particular piece from The Conversation says, French aristocrats and flamenco dancers aside, Jose Greco's Los Muertos, flamenco dances of death. Perhaps Rubio's controversial footwear is inspired by something even more simple. Ted Cruz, 5'8", seems to have staked his claim on the ever-popular cowboy boot. Maybe Rubio is just looking for something to make himself stand out and up. Marty observing, the taller candidate wins. If we're not collectively the shallowest society in history, then who is? Well, look, we are not the first society to have a hissy over footwear. Footwear actually played a part in the demise of Gaius Julius Caesar. He was spotted wearing the wrong color of boots, red, you know, kind of like the Pope used to wear before Pope Frank came along. And, it was passed around that the last time somebody wore boots like that, it was a king of Rome, and that meant that Caesar wanted to be king, and therefore he had to sprout daggers. By the way, Roger in Oregon offering this thought regarding voter turnout. He says, traditional voter turnout rules don't apply. Historical averages are from times when real employment rates were pretty good. What we have now, large numbers of young people that would like to be working but aren't. This makes them more available to vote than any time in the past and more motivated in hopes of restoring economic fairness than previous new voters, too. I hope you're right, Roger. I hope you're right. And Randy points out that, you know, those superdelegates, they are our betters, you know. Oh, I know. Ron in Raleigh says, remember, in my younger, more fashionable days, those shoes were called Cuban heels. Really, no shit. I had some, and I'm 6'3". The pointed toes ones were called Puerto Rican fence climbers or roach killers. Yes, those were... I still like cowboy boots with a very pointed toe. But yes, I remember the cockroach because you can stomp them in the corners. And even that article referred to Mr. Rubio's Marcos. Can we call you Marco? Sure, we can. Little Marcos, Cuban heels. I always thought Cuban heels, the only time, I thought that had to do with something, with women's hosiery. And of course, I don't know, maybe Marco Rubio is hoping to get some traction in the LGBT community if those things can just be perceived to be kinky boots. Ron in the frozen north, huh? Yeah. Marco Rubio says, Jennifer, and by the way, thank you, Jennifer and Graham, for getting us started on fundraising this evening. We now have only $360 to go to get into the tolerable zone. You know, get back to zero again. 360, 10 at 36, 36 at 10, one at 360, two at 180, four at 90, eight at 45. Yeah, right. The PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com. Jennifer says, Marco Rubio is like, what, 12? Can he even be inaugurated? He may require a special dispensation to be, I don't know, bar mitzvahed. There doesn't even appear to be any particular Cuban coming-of-age tradition. The closest I found are bullet ant initiation of the Saturday Mawe and the Hispanic Quinceanera. There we go. Although I'd pay good money, Jennifer says, to see how severe his dry mouth would become while doing a Vanuatuan land dive or an Ethiopian Hamar cow jump. Can you imagine how thirsty that would make the poor boy? I bet he'd even drink a bottle of Eau de Flint, Michigan. Oh, nice job working Flint, Michigan into that because, well, that story just keeps getting ickier. And the dildo thing, by the way, with the Hee Haw Caliphate, it just keeps getting better. Dr. John just sent me an article from Gawker. Headline, Angry Militia Leader, Stop Mailing Us Dildos. No, I think the fact that you made a video about it only means you're going to get more dildos. Carol pointing out that Marco Rubio is a growing boy. His voice still cracks. And Ron in the frozen north asking, does he have a minion trailing behind carrying the step stool he uses to get up to the urinal? One wonders. There really is a lot to cover in the remainder of the program. We have reached the halfway mark, and I'm going to take a break because I've got a long distance dedication lined up just for Marco Rubio. Yeah. I've gotten more than a couple of emails and suggestions from other quadrants saying, "Cue up the Randy Newman. Cue up the Randy Newman." Nah, that's too easy. I like bumpers that make you think. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Like this. Might take a minute. Here we go. Oh, we won't play all of it. Don't worry. I know some people already know what this is. Hey, let's do a little work on the fundraising, can we? Please. Near $600 holes are no fun. We'll be back. This is the morning.
Beyond all your means, and the man in the suit has just bought. Steve Winwood, High Heel Boys.
Can I pick a bumper or what? I mean, really, there's a gun reference, High Heel Boys. I mean, a long-distance dedication going out to you, Marco Rubio, from us here at the Horn. 23 minutes before the hour, let's run over to the Skype line and check in with the Angry Indian. Hey, Angry.
Hey, my man, what's going on?
I don't know. I was so proud of myself for that bumper. I don't know what to do. I mean, you gotta get past the obvious. You know, you can't just go running off to Randy Newman.
Well, you can in relation to anything dealing with the GOP, but or just politics in general. And I suppose that's where I want to go with this. You know, I'm seeing some really conflicting data on social media, and a lot of the and when I say left, I'm not talking about the Democrats. I'm talking about like the
the real left.
The hard left, right?
Yeah, both of them.
Both of them, you know, and you know, it's to the point now that I'm seeing a lot of, you know, let's make some wriggle room for these militia motherfuckers. I mean, the fact that the American left is even respecting and referring to these bastards over here in Burns as militia is offensive to me politically. These motherfuckers are not militias. They're not in
any
way.
They're thugs. I mean, can we not just agree on that?
Well, you and I agree on it. You and I called this a goddamn week before this fucking thing happened, and we didn't even know this was going to go down. We talked about this. I took two of our conversations, and Lupe made a show. We talked about this, that, you know, the Oath Keepers and all of this is just a wind-up. So you had the Bundy standoff. And finally, I see, as of yesterday, the Washington Post was like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, when we didn't do anything about the Nevada standoff in 2014, that's what made Ammon, Bundy, and his brother figure they could do this. So, you know, we you and I and anybody else that's been paying attention saw this coming. The majority of us knew that this was coming. It was just a matter of time and who was going to do it. So they were looking at the Klan. They were looking at maybe a couple of gun-happy neo-Nazi skinheads. You know, maybe it would have been a couple of radical Republicans. And, you know, we looked at the John Hauser shooting, and we ignored it. J.T. Reddy murder of his family and then suicide. Sean Ford and the Minutemen killing that Mexican family. You know, we saw these little things, and we ignored them. Loeffner, we ignored all of it. Dylan Roof came, kills all of these people in my family's church. We ignored it. It was like, oh, okay, yeah, there's a problem. There's a pretty big problem. I mean, what are we going to do? And then you got fuckers like Harold Covington, who's up in Washington State. This motherfucker, who's trying to recruit as many Southerners up to the Pacific Northwest as possible. They want to take over Oregon and Washington. That is part of what the fuck this movement is about. You know, we've been watching all of this. And the Obama administration has officially said, well, we see that there's a problem, but, you know, the Republicans don't want us to file a report on it, so we're not going to do anything. We can't list white men, even though we know that they're the greatest goddamn terrorist threat in the United States. No, we can't look at this.
And see, you're not just saying that. The greatest threat, terrorist threat in the United States. That's not just the opinion of the Angry Indian, now, is it?
No, that's the opinion of the fucking Homeland Security and the FBI, who know better than I do, because they have to deal with these motherfuckers. So, you know, these cats are sitting here in Oregon threatening officials. They're threatening the goddamn bureau. They're threatening the fucking local police officer. I mean, David Ward, the local sheriff over there in Harney County, has had to move his wife and family. His parents have had to leave town. Other officers there in town, the local law enforcement, and I'm no fan of law enforcement, but the bottom line is they're supposed to maintain the goddamn law and order, and they can't do so because their families are at risk. They're threatening the sheriff. They got people sitting outside
his
the
wife,
sheriff.
His wife is gone.
His wife is gone. His parents, who are elderly, and I take fucking issue with people who threaten elders. You know, they fucking threaten his goddamn parents. But they're peaceful and law-abiding, right? You got Pete Santilli, that crazy son of a bitch, running around on the goddamn internet, finally got kicked out of a local meeting over there because he's fucking interrupting people who live there while they're trying to fucking talk. And they finally threw that motherfucker out. He's acting like a victim and saying, well, they're coming after me. They're all paranoid sons of fucking bitches. Nobody's coming after these goddamn bastards. You know, just like people asking me, well, why are you upset with the leftists that think that this isn't a terrorist act? I'm like, they're fucking idiots. They know full well that this is a goddamn terrorist act. They know full goddamn well that this is a terrorist act. But the idea that white men picking up guns, no, let's not discuss that as a terrorist act, whether it be left wing or right wing.
Well, I mean, okay, time out. If it's not a terrorist act, then what the is it?
Well, I'm seeing all kinds of wriggle room. It's a protest. I'm watching fucking...
No, time out, sorry. I mean, I don't mean to cut you off angry or anything, but if you bring guns to your protest, it's not a protest.
Well, yeah. You know, of course.
Because we can just engage in an itsy-bitsy tiny little thought experiment and solve that problem real quick by asking... What would have happened if people would have brought guns to Zuccotti Park?
There would have been a whole lot of dead, young, middle-class white people who owed a lot of money on student loans. And their parents would have raised goddamn hell. And the rest of the world would have looked at them because these were white people being shot, like Kent State. You know, you can watch a bunch of hippies get messed up and some angry black people in Oakland get fucked up. But when you start shooting at white mainstream kids whose parents are paying for their fucking education so that they can eventually take over the family business, somebody's going to notice. Somebody's going to notice.
I mean, what does it say? And maybe we can... I mean, okay, so we can't call it a protest, but somebody thinks it's not terrorism. Can we have an agreement on sedition?
No, there's people want to argue with me about the sedition bit, even though they said that they're trying to take over the fucking government. Even though the local sheriff, David Ward, in a statement said they're trying to take over the state and fucking federal government. This is their whole goddamn point. Clive M. Bundy, in a 2014 fucking interview with a Republican radio program, said that he does not believe that the United States government exists. And like you said, I'm not saying this. The Bundy family is saying this. They don't believe that the U.S. government exists. They don't believe it. And the left is letting them get away with this. Slate, which I suppose is the left. This is their podcast, the Political Gab Fest. And they had their political correspondent on, or I believe his name is pronounced Jamil Bowie, who, you know, I've never particularly cared for a lot of his work anyway, I'll be honest with you, you know. But he's a black journalist and I follow him. I want to see what he says. But I listened to this goddamn podcast and I'm like, wait a goddamn minute. He's talking about, well, there's a lot that can be talked about here. You know, mandatory minimums and, they kind of started a fire. But and I'm like, wait a goddamn minute. And he said that race should not be really brought into this. And the fact
now, Angry, that's where I begin to lose a little bit of my composure. Because if this is going to be the same people who said, I'm guessing, the same people who say, well, you know, at least this has sparked a debate about mandatory minimums.
Yeah.
Bullshit, it has. It hasn't. But secondarily, those are probably the same people who say, well, sure, a constitutional convention of the states would be a great idea. We can just swan right in and do away with Citizens United and swan right back out again.
Well, like you're saying, they don't really know what the fuck they're talking about, and they're not looking at the bigger picture, and these are people who pay attention piecemeal to these things. Until white supremacists actually shoot and kill white people, or rob a bank, like the Bob Matthews and the audit did. That's when they got federal fucking attention.
Well, exactly. And that's another thing. The constant references in all of this to, you know, we don't want to give them another, you know, they want another Waco. They want a Ruby Ridge. Can we dispense rather quickly, Angry, with the notion that there was anything good or decent about Randy Weaver or David Koresh?
Well, nothing. And I even, you know, had mentioned to people, the Randy Weaver case was a questionable case if it was laid out the way it was laid out in court. Because, you know, he can believe what the fuck he wants to believe. He believed in a Zionist occupational government and, you know, all this type of, you know, extremist bullshit. But he packed his fucking family up and went up to the hills. Okay, he's a fucking white supremacist. He's a nutcase. He's a paranoid anti-government freak. But for the most part, he left people the fuck alone. And he went up there with his family and stayed with other people who think the same way he does. The case is that he was more than likely set up by not so much the Bureau, but more than likely a particular fucking agent, like they tend to do when we read or hear about all of these young black men caught up in these terrorist cases. They have no fucking jobs. They got
right,
nothing.
Yeah, if we buy you a basketball and some new sneakers, will you tell us that you want to blow up the Sears Tower?
That's the whole goddamn thing. They got to take them everywhere. They got to buy them every daily fucking meal. These cats have nothing. So, of course, they're going to fucking talk shit. The same way if you go to fucking Appalachia, I'm sure, or anywhere in the fucking dirty white South, where you see white men who don't have a chance of fucking making a living, they don't have a chance of getting any education, ask them how they feel about the system. Of course, they're going to tell you they hate the fucking system. But if you send a fucking agent provocateur in there, and start talking shit, and then start suggesting things. I mean, look, bottom line, I knew where Slate was coming from with this, but I don't like the way that they went about it. If you want to talk about unfairness, like I said, you can mention the Randy Weaver case. That's the only one that I'll actually, endorse. Because for what I can see, he was minding his own business, and they pretty much leaned and came on him and kept offering him shit until he fucking finally took the bait. So, and then the way that they shot up his family and whatever, and the way those people reacted is, like I said, they go up there to get away from this. So the way that shit happened in their worldview, the entire country was coming after them. Gary Spence is a fucking crazy son of a bitch, but he made a fair fucking argument. I can deal with that. These motherfuckers are not making a fair fucking argument. First off, the land doesn't even belong to the fucking federal government. The federal government stole the land from the fucking Northern Paiute. The damn, where you said this yourself, the fucking spot, the actual geographic spot where all this bullshit is taking place is literally where the fucking Northern Paiute were kicked off of. And they were kicked off violently. They were kicked off violently and were not allowed to fucking come back to their own place. And then even when it was supposed to be given back to them on paper, they still can't motherfucking occupy the goddamn thing. So, for any goddamn son of a bitch is talking about, this federal land belongs to us. Well, who the fuck is us? Who the fuck are they talking about?
No, it's a very, very distinctly defined us. We the people mean something to these evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals that it doesn't mean to us. We the people to them means them, and the rest of us. Well, we're not invited to the party.
No, see, Amon, whatever the fuck we're calling him, the Bundys, owe money to the fucking feds.
Oh, yeah, I'm calling him Ammonium Fosdex Bundy now.
Oh, that's cool with me. Call him whatever the fuck. But the bottom line is, they borrowed money from the fucking feds. They went begging for goddamn welfare. They went begging for help, and they fucking got it, and now they don't want to pay the shit back. Just like all these other goddamn Republicans, and I don't even know where actually. Let me clarify that, because I had got into it with somebody earlier today about that too. Eisenhower was a fucking Republican. He did shit that I didn't particularly care for, but he was responsible and he was a goddamn Republican, all right? He was fiscally fucking conservative, but he gave a goddamn about people in his own fucking country. These sons of bitches are not fucking Republicans. Now this libertarian goddamn tack. And I regret the fact that I actually registered as that shit as a young person, because when I looked on paper, it made sense to me. It wasn't until I got into a room full with those fucks that I realized what the fuck was going on. That they did not really fucking mean personal freedom. That they were not about fucking being responsible. That they were really about fleecing the fucking government and taking advantage of fucking people who can't defend their fucking selves. And that's what the fuck this bullshit is about. These motherfuckers already in 2014 pulled down. You and I have talked about this repeatedly on this show, and it needs to be fucking repeated. They pulled down on goddamn federal agents and were allowed to fucking get away with it. Nobody was taken in. Nobody was even fucking charged. They've been threatening fucking law enforcement. They've been threatening the fucking Bureau of Land Management agents and shit for decades. I'm talking about the Hammond family and the goddamn Bundys. The Hammond family just as bad as the fucking Bundys.
They're stamped out of the same cookie cutter.
I mean, child abuse, crazy religious motherfucking ideas. And then when people were talking about, and this is what gets me about Slate, they leaned on the, well, they started a fire without mentioning that they almost killed several of their fucking neighbors, without mentioning that they killed a bunch of fucking animals and shit that live on that goddamn reserve. No, you know, you don't really fucking hear about that. You know, I mean, what, 130 some odd goddamn acres that didn't fucking belong to them, but they almost killed people. And they fucking hurt, you know, the living things that's their goddamn home. So fuck these goddamn people. And now I find out last night that they tore a goddamn fence down using federal fucking equipment. But there's still no laws broken, and they're talking about a $70,000 fine. Go in there and do to them what the fuck you did to Occupying Black Lives Matter. That's what the fuck they should goddamn be doing. Do what was done to the American Indian movement in 1973, who was trying to reclaim their own motherfucking community that was being invaded by, or actually not invaded, but it was being fucking overrun by the goddamn goon squad, otherwise known as the Guardians of the Oglala Nation, who were fucking trained and funded by the federal government. If they're really gonna talk about the fucking, you know, government hijinks, and untrustworthy motherfucking leadership in terms of what's coming out of D.C., talk about what the fuck was going on in the goddamn civil war that the Native American community was having here between the fucking 60s and 70s. There are still people who cannot be accounted for from that time period, from the Native community. You know, so no, these motherfuckers are nothing but goddamn neo-Nazis, third position goddamn neo-Nazis is that, and they don't want to motherfucking admit it, and they're using their twisted goddamn view of Mormon religion to fucking justify this. And the goddamn Mormon churches came out and said that don't even include us in your craziness. Stay the fuck out of it. We don't want anything to do with you.
And see that what I referred to earlier, the 15-year-old little girl who stood up and said, I shouldn't have to be afraid to live in my own community.
She's goddamn right.
She's absolutely right. And so the question that I would have for the federal government is, why does she have to be the one who says it? Why does she have to be the one? Why isn't the federal government doing its job? Why is a county judge the one who's saying we need to send them a $70,000 a day bill? Because the costs there in Harney County have risen approaching $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's going up like the damn Powerball.
And who's paying for it now?
Because of these freaks.
And who's paying for it now?
Yeah, well, we the people.
And these motherfuckers, where are their jobs?
Well, I mean, can't we garnish Ammonia Fosdex Bundy's or John Crackerheimer's disability check?
Hey, he's taking welfare, right? But Agnes would be like, well, wait a minute, Bob. You're going to go to an action and do what for how long? What about us?
Hey, well,
she wouldn't ask you that?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those. Okay, little digression here. I'm one of those people who does not believe in getting arrested for a cause, because you're just putting money into a system that is in the nature of your complaint is already corrupt. So I won't do that. But no, the point is well taken. Now I'm sorry. Well, I didn't go to Zuccotti Park. I stayed right here behind the microphone. My family needed me. That doesn't make me a hero. Maybe it makes me a chicken shit. But
No, it makes you practical. Because, see, the bottom fucking line is, and like I said, I've been doing this for too fucking long. I've been watching these bastards for too long. And in my younger days, we used to run into each other. And those motherfuckers don't work any goddamn where. They talk a big motherfucking deal about that shit, but they don't motherfucking work. They don't goddamn work. All right? They're angry
well,
that's what the
person who researched all of these sovereign citizen, white wing, the pure constitutionalist gangs of thugs said. For the most part, they live on disability, or they've got another family member who works, and they think nothing of spending half of their income on guns every month.
Exactly. Exactly, because I'm looking at this, and
John Crackerheimer said he's lucky to have a wife who works.
Yeah, but if there's a black man sitting somewhere who cannot find a fucking job, Let's say he's got a fucking record. Let's say he got that record not because he was an actual criminal, but because he looked like fucking at a cop the wrong way, like Freddie Gray. And they made a motherfucking case. And now they got a fucking monkey on his goddamn back. And every decent job he tries to fucking get, no, you're a fucking ex-con. I can't hire you. I'm not going to fucking hire you. And he sits at home trying, you know, get some piecework every now and again, brings in a dollar every now and again, and his fucking woman has to fucking take care of him. If he does, if she doesn't, then he's out there fucking doing crime. Ritzheimer and these fuckers, if you look at their goddamn websites and they've listened to them on the fucking, their goddamn radio programs, all they talk about is the lazy fucking nigger all goddamn day long. The lazy pro-cap check Indian who drinks all fucking day long. But their goddamn pals are drinking their motherfucking donations away down there in Burns, spending money at the fucking restaurants. And if I understand what is I'm being told to me around here, they're fucking buying prostitutes too with that goddamn donation money. So what the fuck are they really about? Asking for snacks. What the fuck are they really about? We're looking at a bunch of overgrown motherfucking men who have no right to fucking have firearms, let alone have a right to be out of goddamn adult supervision. This is fucking ridiculous that this has gone on for so goddamn long. And here it is, the State of the fucking Union address, the last one. And they here they are trying to do a coup while, at the end of the fucking term, the second term of a black president, so that they can use that as a goddamn.
Well, but see, that's the whole point. That's the whole point. They were all of these constitutional, going to protect freedom, yada yada, stupid. They were just fine with committing war crimes. They were just fine with an illegal war. They were just fine with a million civilian innocent dead in Iraq. They were just fine with all of that because it was perpetrated by a white guy. Now, just as a for instance, as a sort of breaking news kind of thing, Tom Cotton up in Arkansas has declared, because you know about this whole Iranian Navy, you know, that thing I mentioned a little bit ago. A Navy spokesman said it does appear that the boats had veered into Iranian territorial waters. I think it says something for the Iranians that they did not blow said boats out of the water. Okay? They took them into custody, and they're going to be returned. Meanwhile, as Sparky put in the chat room, Tom Cotton, who thinks he's the second coming of Stonewall Jackson, said, "No one should be surprised by Iran's behavior today. President Obama should communicate to the Ayatollahs that unless they immediately release our sailors and boats, the United States will nullify the Iran nuclear deal and take all necessary measures to recover the service members they've apprehended." I wonder if he would have said that, Tom Cotton. I wonder if he would have said that, Angry. Back when Dim Leader apologized to the Chinese for us spying with our spy plane on them that they shot down. And then said, "Okay, all right. Here's the line in the sand. If you don't give our airmen back, I'm going to apologize again."
Look, man, I'm still hearing fuckers that are in their 30s. Republicans here in Portlandia who are in their 30s that still want to talk to me about Gary Powers, and you know, it's like, oh man, you know, shut up. You know, it's like, what the fuck, man? You know, just stay out of the goddamn conversation. You know, like I said earlier, we're dealing with fucking overgrown, mentally motherfucking, retarded, socially fucking retarded. I want it all. I want what the fuck I want, and fuck everybody else.
Okay, there's another name we can use on them, the Veruca Salt Brigade. I want it all, daddy.
Yeah. Central position. What was it, Robert Audley? Right? African Genesis. Central position. It's just me. All I really know is what the fuck is around me. And then when you look at most bigots, not all, because there's a lot of reasons why people are bigoted about various things. I mean, folks who are really into, writing, who love H.P. Lovecraft, don't like to accept the fact that H.P. Lovecraft's demons and shit were basically his way of fucking, articulating his fear of black people.
Of black people. Oh, no. He was a notorious racist and xenophobe, H.P. Lovecraft. Absolutely.
you know, we're dealing with a lot of stuff in terms of why people see the things that, you know, the way that they see it.
Yeah, but by the same token, it's awfully handy. H.P. Lovecraft is awfully handy. When the Mormons show up at your door, you ask them if they have a few minutes for you to tell them about Cthulhu's plan for their life.
Oh, they'll run? I have to remember
No, mostly they look at you and ask you, who's Cthulhu? They're not the brightest bulbs in the chandelier, the Mormon missionary boys. And then the doors open, and it's really fun. You should try it sometime.
No, I don't like to bother them too much because, you know, a lot of them really don't mean, you know, ill. They found something that gives them whatever, some of them. And you can obviously tell that others are not fucking happy, and they're just out there.
See, you're actually nicer than I am angry.
No, I used to be. I tried to be religious, and a lot of those folks don't really mean anything bad. They're trying to share, and I don't have a problem with that. See, I have a problem when I tell you I'm not interested, and you keep fucking bugging me. See, now that's different. You know, I'm not interested. I don't believe in it. Well, you got to, but no, I don't have to fucking do anything. You know, I'm not interested. And you know, religion, fucking religion. They just got another goddamn pastor for molesting some fucking young kid. You know, I mean, this is goddamn every week. And then, you know, the new Pope, who I actually have a lot of respect for, but his brother's in charge of a goddamn school or seminary, some fucking place, where there's been decades of fucking abuse. But the Catholic Church is still operating as a motherfucking institution. Why is that?
Yeah, tell me when you get the memo, because I'd like to know, too.
Well, it's the same logic we can apply to the Oregon, you know, standoff, if we want to justify it by calling it that. Why has this ship been allowed to hit a second week? Why was it allowed to hit a second day? No group of fucking niggers, chinks, spicks, or Indians could pick up fucking guns and go to any goddamn federal, any fucking thing, no matter how motherfucking remote, and say, yeah, well, we're taking this shit over and, you know, either talk to us or you know, it's going to go down. Because these motherfuckers have had a handshake meeting with the fucking sheriff, who they're threatening by the goddamn way. They shook hands and met, and the sheriff said, look, I will escort you out of the state, which implies to me that these motherfuckers are living a John Wayne goddamn fantasy where he'll get him to the fucking state line, and somehow they'll avoid the feds or whatever the fuck, and the other state authorities, I'll get you out of the state, and you can go home. And he's like, oh, no, I respectfully fucking decline. And we're supposed to respect this. There was no meeting like that with Black Lives Matter. Now, they met with Occupy because they were mostly white people. But they didn't fucking meet like that with Black Lives Matter. They fucking threatened to lock up everybody in Black Lives Matter. And they were pointing fucking sniper goddamn rifles at Black Lives Matter. They had tanks in. Homeland Security was set up a couple of days beforehand in a town just a town away from fucking Baltimore. So it's like, no, from Ferguson, sorry. You know, what the fuck is this? You know, are we really supposed to sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, you did what you did to move in the American Indian Movement. Okay, that was a couple of decades ago.
Yeah, we've gotten past all that. We don't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore, right?
Yeah, as of day before yesterday.
You know, but when it comes to people of color, oh, well, hell, goddamn, you know, I mean, we can't do this. We can't do this. You know, what the fuck? We can't do this.
Well, I'm okay. So let me go back to an email I got from Billable Rick a while back because of a question that I asked last night. Billable Rick wrote in because I'd asked, you know, hey, where's the U.S. attorney for the state of Oregon? And he said, if you can believe it, Oregon has only one judicial district, which comprises the entire state. According to the court's website, the District of Oregon has courthouses in Portland, Eugene, Medford, and Pendleton, each of which comprises a specific division of the court. The first three courthouses are in the western part of Oregon, with Portland in the northwest, Eugene in the west central, and Medford in the southwest part of the state. The only federal courthouse in eastern Oregon is in Pendleton, which is in the northeast part of the state, about 145 miles nearly due north of Burns, but 196 miles by car. Thus, Burns is quite literally in the middle of nowhere, far from a federal courthouse. You think that played any? You think that played any part in these determinations and considerations, Angry? And then the second part, because the question that I asked was, how often does a federal grand jury meet? And why isn't a federal grand jury being presented, at least with the evidence of what is going on right now? And so Billable Rick said, a federal grand jury typically is convened for a period of 1 year and meets once each week. I suspect there is at least one grand jury impaneled at any given time in each of the court locations, and quite likely two grand juries in the more populated areas with courthouses, i.e. Portland. The term of a federal grand jury can be extended for a period of months on the request of a prosecutor for a specific matter only. Okay, so, and that is clarifying information. So, I repeat my question. Why? I mean, the dildos prove it. They are delivering the mail. The box that so pissed off John Krakenheimer was a United States Postal Service. What are those called? If it fits, it ships. Flat rate. It was a flat rate box full of dildos. And interesting that the U.S. Postal Service, from wherever it was sent, managed to deliver it to the bird sanctuary outside Burns in Harney County. Why is the United States Postal Service delivering goddamn mail to that address?
That's a good fucking question. You know, I didn't even think about that, but that's a good goddamn question.
Well, wait, because we can process through this. Okay, so maybe they're not. Maybe those passionate defenders of the Constitution that exists only in their minds, their troubled minds. Maybe those defenders of freedom went into town to the post office there where they've got a post office box. Oh, no, that's not what happened. They have given out their mailing address as General Delivery, Burns, Oregon.
General Delivery?
I shit you not.
And they honored that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, the lights are still fucking on. The computers are still on. They broke into the fucking Social Security goddamn network and got your information, my motherfucking information. They lied and said that they didn't do it, but reporters were there and said that they witnessed them doing this shit. They're going through all of the fucking paper file work. They're doing all of this. Now, when Indians did that, when the Bureau of Indian Affairs building was taken over, and I can't remember what year, 76 or 5, something like that, because I was young. I don't remember the year. But when they went in there and did that, no weapons. That's the first goddamn thing. Now, they did take over the building. They did exactly pretty much what these fuckers are doing, unlike these punks who went to an isolated goddamn bird sanctuary. These motherfuckers went to a major fucking city and took over the goddamn federal building, right? So they occupied the Bureau of Indian Affairs fucking building and went through the paperwork. But they didn't go through the paperwork to look for some kind of, you know, bullshit way to get something for nothing. They were looking for paperwork to see how they have been cheated out of their fucking land and how they have been cheated out of the fucking money that's due them. And they sent the different tribes and shit, you know, their tribal committees, various paperwork and shit, so they could find out what, you know, what was going on that they didn't know. And they found out a whole lot of bullshit that was going on in the Bureau of Indian Affairs and by extension, the Indian Health Service in terms of sterilization of our women. 2 decades of this went on. But there was a point in that. These are Native Americans who are reclaiming what the fuck was already goddamn theirs and made agreements, government-to-government agreements, under constitutional law. These fuckers talk about the Constitution all the time, right? Well, the federal government cannot go into an agreement with another fucking, with a lesser entity, meaning a tribe or what have you. So every agreement signed between Native nations and the federal government was a government-to-government goddamn agreement, just like the reserve that in Burns that we're talking about in Harney County. They were trying to find out why the fuck they were being cheated. They were trying to find out why their women were not fucking able to go full term with their pregnancies. And we find out what the fuck happened with that sterilization that should be in the goddamn Hague, discussed in the fucking Hague. Okay, that's what came out of that. That was justice. And people were prosecuted after that. This bullshit that's going on, what the fuck are they trying to reclaim? First off, they're not even from goddamn the state of Oregon, let alone Harney County. They're not members of the fucking Hammond family who told them to fuck off already. okay? These motherfuckers are stealing goddamn land that doesn't fucking belong to them. And like the Sheriff David Ward said, and I quote, they're trying to start a motherfucking uprising where this bullshit will happen in different fucking places, just like you and I have talked about William Pierce's The Turner Diaries. Independent lone wolves that either do damage or do actions, but they do so unconnected and not even with any kind of contact with each other, but they're all white supremacists, and somehow they can destabilize the system and that they can march into D.C. and fucking take it over. That's their goddamn plan. That's their fucking plan. This bullshit has been laid out.
And see, I go back and forth on this issue, Angry. On the one hand, I want to look at this as pure ludicrous foolishness. And it would be pretty easy to do that if these people didn't have a bunch of guns. Okay? Guns get you taken seriously. Ask any person of color in this country who's ever been seen to be holding one. Well, I mean, if you can, if they're not already dead. You get my meaning. So there's that. But the other is that, I don't think the first shot of the second Civil War is going to be fired in Harney County, Oregon. What I'm worried about...
They know that, too. But they're hoping that they can provide enough thing for these others.
Well, and every day that goes by means that it's more likely that somewhere some other bunch of yahoos is gonna decide to occupy, a fish hatchery.
Well, I think they'll try to step it up, but yeah, it's gonna happen. I mean, look at it this way: when the Pacific Patriots Network showed up, these motherfuckers jumped out of their SUVs. Wearing goddamn, a couple of them had on baklava, you know, they got all this shit, like they're fucking in Afghanistan, Bob. Brother Bob, I'm watching this and I'm like, is this goddamn 24 or is this what's happening over here in fucking Burns? And the person I was watching it with said, no, this is happening in Burns. I said, see, these motherfuckers are living a movie. And the fact that they're being allowed to do this shit is inspiring a fucking Dylan Roof out there who's been sitting around reading old Soldier of Fortune magazines, that's been dreaming about being a fucking killer, who's been sitting around watching episode after episode of 24, who hates Muslims, is afraid of black men, and has this idea that I got my ass kicked by a black guy one time, or some black kid, you know, bullied me, and the fuck if that's going to happen again. And where am I getting that from, Brother Bob? You told me to look for a certain individual named Bradley Cooper, right?
Yep.
Or Blaine Cooper, whatever the fuck his name is.
Yep.
And you were right. Because he's at this goddamn thing. And I listened to the fucking I watched the video where he's talking about, remember when that bully beat you up when you were young? And you had to stand up to him finally? Well, I beat mine down. I'm paraphrasing. Because somebody can say, well, that's not what he said. And I'm paraphrasing. I had to beat mine down and we became friends later. That told me everything I needed to know about these punk motherfuckers, okay? That told me everything I needed to know, Brother Bob, about these motherfuckers. Oh, you're still walking around. How old are you, boy? You're still walking around because somebody kicked your motherfucking ass. You got pushed around a little bit 25, 30 fucking years ago. So you're gonna do this? Really? This is the punk ass mentality. I watched that Pete Santilli on the fucking video from 2014. He's a fucking little boy. All of these motherfuckers are children. They're boys. Why are we afraid of these motherfuckers? Well, we're afraid of them, like you said, Brother Bob, because they got goddamn guns and they'll use them. They're following Muslims around in Texas and Ohio with a fucking mask on, with a fucking tactical vest on, with field-grade weapons, and the police are telling the community, we can't do anything about it. It's an open carry state. Unless you're Tamir Rice or John Crawford, and you cause a woman named Angela Williams to have a heart attack in front of her goddamn children in a fucking Walmart. You know, in that case, you know, open carry doesn't mean a goddamn thing. We're just going to open fucking fire on you, and then we're not going to do anything to any goddamn buddy, including the motherfucker who made the false 911 call. Nothing was done.
Hey, okay, so it's not Oregon, Angry, but I want to share a story with you. because I think it's the same mindset. You've got economic desperation. This comes out of Pennsylvania.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Old stomping grounds, right? Duncannon, Pennsylvania. And a family there was being evicted from their apartment.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania State Constable Clark Steele today went to the apartment to enforce an eviction notice. That is when the man of the house, the Potter Familius, Don Meyer, pointed a .223 caliber rifle at his chest. Now, a .223, that's basically a .22 caliber rifle with a whole lot of gunpowder behind it. Okay? Well, he pointed the .223 at the constable. The constable responded by drawing his firearm and firing a single shot that went through Don Meyer's arm, the guy with the .223 rifle pointed at the chest of the constable. And having passed through Don Meyer's arm, it came to rest inside the body of 12-year-old Sierra Meyer, who was standing behind her daddy. The news article merely says she was pronounced dead at the scene. Police said a chambered rifle and a loaded 30-round magazine were recovered from the apartment. The school district merely posted a statement saying, "School district officials are aware that a police incident has taken place late this morning at the Fault's apartments in Duncannon." So Merca, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no,
but this is, you know, this is the mindset that the NRA and by extension these patriot bastards have fostered. There are multiple levels of analysis possible here. Why was this family being evicted? What kind of housing was it? Why did this guy feel like a .223 rifle would somehow stop his eviction?
Yeah, you know, I don't... I mean, obviously, you know, these are people with their back up against the wall, and, you know, emotional bullshit is what's paramount. That, you know, that's the thing that gets me with all of these anti-government fuckers. Yes, you know, there's problems with the government, but their bullshit with the government is that they're white and they're having a hard time. And, you know, every black person out there, you know, is getting a check for, you know, and going to school for free. And Indians are rich on casino money and all this type of shit. And there's nothing for them. So they feel like, you know, my back's against the wall. So this peace shooter is going to fucking somehow keep me from losing my house.
Or at least it'll let them know that I'm a man.
Yeah, because that's all it's going to do. But see, he got his fucking daughter killed.
Penn Township. And the TV news report says, with the rifle pointed directly at his chest, police said Steele, who was in uniform, unholstered his .40 caliber duty handgun and fired one shot.
And see, that kind of gets me right there, too. One shot. How many times did they shoot Laquan McDonald?
Yeah.
Well, he was coming at us with a knife. Well, we got the video, motherfucker. You're a goddamn liar. That boy was going in the opposite goddamn direction.
Now, meanwhile, dumbass Freedom Protector Daddy, who got his little 12-year-old daughter killed, has been charged with aggravated assault, okay, simple assault, okay, reckless endangerment, okay, and terroristic threats.
But not attempted murder?
Guess not.
of a police officer. He pulled a gun on a cop, and this, because they're throwing out the terrorism shit all over the goddamn place with everything. I mean, P. Diddy got charged with terrorism not too long ago, but not the fucking Bundy family. See, this is the hypocrisy, you know, that people are looking at. But this is what I was talking about when I first came in. The hard left is saying, well, they're not terrorists. And it's like, well, not everybody, but a lot of people. And I'm like, wait a goddamn minute. What the fuck do you mean they're not terrorists? And it's like, well, they do have a point. And I'm like, no, they don't have no goddamn point. That land doesn't belong to them at all. For white motherfuckers to claim that land belongs to them is bullshit. I'm sorry. The fucking nation is right there. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? What you're trying to say then, that AIM was wrong. No, AIM was not wrong. AIM was trying to reclaim their motherfucking shit. That's their goddamn ancestral fucking territory. The reservation resided right where they fucking put them was their shit. So you say that what happened to the move then was justified. No, I am not saying what happened to the fucking move was justified. Yeah, they had goddamn weapons, and more than likely they were probably shooting at the police, but you don't drop a goddamn, incendiary bomb in a residential motherfucking neighborhood. They bombed that entire fucking neighborhood. It was a black neighborhood, so who cares, right? And
bingo.
This was a black... So we have to make a fucking example out of them.
Okay, so a story out of Cincinnati, angry.
Hmm.
And this is a man of color. 14, he had a 14-year-old boy, 14-year-old son. And I guess the young'un didn't want to go to school today. He'll never go to school again. Daddy got up in the freezing cold and the snow and took him to the bus stop. The young man's name was Georta Mack, G-E-O-R-T-A. And then, having been dropped at the bus stop, Georta Mack turned around and came back home and hid in the basement. Now, hearing a noise, Daddy got his freedom protector, opened the door to the basement, went downstairs, opened a door where he saw his son standing in the doorway, and Daddy fired one shot right through young Georta Mack's neck and ended his life. They got him to the hospital. They pronounced him dead 2 hours later. The news story says the shooting remains under investigation. Why?
Yeah, because they want to know what to do with that. Because here was, he was supposed to be defending his home. Because I guess early in the morning is when crooks usually break into people's places. And,
What? 7:30? 7?
Yeah, I mean, which isn't impossible. I mean, I grew up in a bad neighborhood. You know, you have to, if you're smart anyway, you don't go to work the same way every morning, you know?
I get this, but there are larger questions here, Angry. I lay this at the feet of the NRA.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Daddy didn't have any idea that the guy was armed. He didn't have any idea that he was unarmed. But, you know, Wayne LaPierre's out there and has told us repeatedly the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Oh, yeah.
The only way to stop a bad son with no gun is a good daddy with a gun.
But there's only two ways that this really needs to be analyzed. First off, are they going to treat him the same way as they do a white guy who would have shot his son in the same conditions? And where I'm going with this is, and you might be aware of these two cases, they're both in Texas, I believe. One white guy shot a cop that came into his home, unannounced, of course, because they were doing a raid on the wrong house. And he shot this cop, and they dropped it. Black guy shoots a cop under the same sort of shit. They broke into the wrong house. He's being charged with murder. The NRA hasn't said anything about this. They've been asked, but they haven't said anything about this. You know, they don't announce that they're officers. They're doing a no-knock raid and kick yourself in, and you're one of these gun-happy sons of bitches, and you let off. So the white guy, well, hey, it was an accident, and they just dropped it. The black man, he's still in the joint. He's facing fucking trial. He's facing life in prison, if not the death penalty, for this. You know, so what are they really going to do with this? I mean, and then take into account, too, Ohio again. You did it. I can't remember this motherfucker's name, but he's a internet famous neo-Nazi. He shot the only black police chief I'm aware of in I think it's Oklahoma. Sorry. I can't remember Lewis Ross. It's the police chief. He was shot by a white supremacist when they went in there, supposedly, that there was a bomb threat and what have you. And they went in and he had a vest on. So this cat shot him several times, but he survived it. But they dropped all the charges. They dropped everything. You know, they made him a hero in that town. You know, and not one anti-Black Lives Matter who were blaming Black Lives Matter for the deaths of police officers, where it turns out that almost all of them were fucking bullshit. All of them. Nothing. No discussion, no nothing. I couldn't get anybody to fucking talk about that. I couldn't even get two reporters I contacted to fucking talk about that. Nobody wanted to discuss it. They're like, well, you know, it's just one of those things. We don't see this as being newsworthy. There's a double standard out there. So what will happen in that case? You know, what's going to happen with this father? You said he's being charged. Will the charges actually stick?
Well, no, it's still under investigation. I'm willing to bet the man will be charged with negligent homicide. Involuntary manslaughter or something.
Because he didn't even call out to find out who is it. You know, who's down there? Is anybody there? You know, what the hell? Yeah, and give the person an opportunity to either say, look, I'm your neighbor and I'm looking for my cat. Or, hey, dad, it's me. You know, I'm playing hooky. Whatever it is.
Why didn't the young man want to go to school? Can we ask that question, too?
Well, there's a whole lot of things we can ask, but the bottom line is,
after all, Cincinnati we're talking about.
Yeah, see Ohio again. Yeah, but why are people? What is the fucking gun religion? You know, what is this fetish? What is this bullshit that if you don't have a gun, you're not free? If you don't have a gun, you can't protect yourself.
Bingo.
You know, that's what all these motherfuckers online are always whining to me about. Well, are you saying that I can't protect myself? Who the fuck told you not to protect yourself? Do you really need to take an AR-15 to get a goddamn softie? Like Ritzheimer? Ritzheimer's a bitch. And I don't mean to insult women. But this motherfucker's a punk. I'm using street language now. He's a fucking punk. I got four goddamn sisters that are tougher than this son of a bitch. He's a fucking punk. Blaine Cooper's a fucking punk. Ammon Bundy, I'm not intimidated by that motherfucker, man. You know, he really practiced, I guess, in front of a mirror like Hitler. You know, because he had a drama teacher that was telling him how to give his speeches and shit.
Yeah. Let me interject for a minute because time is moving swiftly. Starting at 8:30, the folks over at FYINation.com will be moving away from this broadcast to their State of the Union coverage. So I just wanted folks to know that. Thomas asked me to share that along.
And people check out FY Nation. It's pretty good, you know. Go check them out.
They're a good bunch of folks, but I wanted to let folks know that.
Yeah. But, I don't remember where I was going now. But, you know, either way, Bob, I mean, we're looking at a sick culture, and that's the bottom line. And no one really wants to talk about that. Because if you have
exactly. That's why I said earlier in talking about Bernie, Bernie is a chance. Bernie is a hope. Bernie is a puncher's chance. Okay, with Hillary Clinton, we just continue the long, slow slide into imperial decay.
Mm-hmm.
God knows with Trump or Rubio or any of these other cretins. The slide is neither long nor slow. It is fast and perhaps catastrophic.
Brother Bob, you know as well as I do, any of these Republicans out of this clutch of fucks that gets in, I don't care who it is, the cabinet will be running the country, not them. It will be worse than what happened under W, because Cheney was able to fucking do shit. The vice president that they choose will be just as goddamn inept as the main fucking person that they pick for the party. You know, none of these fucking people are political. You know, I can't even imagine Chris Christie. Yeah, you were talking about clothes earlier. And we can get nasty with these motherfuckers because they don't know how to dress. You know, they don't have any goddamn style. You know, fucking I can't imagine any of these fucking people going and having a conversation with Hollande. You know, having a conversation with Putin. Oh, Putin's a thug. That's true. But he fucking looks a hell of a lot better than you motherfuckers do.
Well, I mean, consider the crap that Donald Trump has talked about China. How's that meeting with the premier over there going to go down?
No, but see, he's a racist white man, so he figures that I can insult these people and I'll wave some money in their face and they'll just forget about it. No, it don't work like that in China, motherfucker. Hell no. No, I've dealt with the Chinese. No. Talk about fucking memory? Oh, no. No. They might smile at you, motherfucker. And anybody that really knows, you know, Asia, all right, they might fucking smile at you, but when you offend, that shit is never fucking forgotten and is never fucking forgiven, especially when it's racial. He has racially insulted the Chinese. He has racially insulted just about every goddamn group and he can fucking get away with doing it. Okay? He talks about yarmulkes and counting money. Well, fuck, the entire GOP insulted every goddamn American Jew in the country when they fucking met with that business group and got away with it. This is what the fuck we really need to be talking about, Brother Bob. What the fuck is wrong with the American left that they can't call a spade a goddamn spade? Okay, so you come up with Al-Qaeda or some shit. Funny. Okay, so you want to use Vanilla ISIS or something, and you want to, you know, still clown W and what have you, and we can do that. But the bottom line, you know, when I got people on the left telling me, well, maybe the Bundys have a point, and when Slate can put out some shit that's saying, yeah, well, you know, we really need to take race out of this and just look at these guys as being people who have been pushed around, because that's what the fuck I got from it. And the fact that that was said by a black man disturbs me even fucking more when he works for a major goddamn news agency. That's disturbing. To when you have fuckers that are making neo-Nazi goddamn statements. Clive and Bundy said blacks were better off in slavery.
Oh, yeah.
And disassociate the fact that they're not.
That was just more Duck Doofus stuff. This is an undercurrent that runs all over this country. I got a question coming in from Jennifer in Australia for us. She says, sorry to interrupt Angry, but I so want to ask you this. What is the source of the indifference? Part of me died, Jennifer says, with Trayvon, but not the part that wished I could have cradled the boy on the pavement, whispering into his ear, hush, let a fellow American ease your fear, so that such beauty did not have to die alone, one indivisible. To my dismay, during the 46 days we waited for an arrest, my emails home of shocked fury were met with, for example, a bizarre I tell you response from a friend who, after having to have it explained who Zimmerman was, said that, quote, people who live in Florida should expect this. Have I maybe been away too long or not long enough? Jennifer asks. It's probably a little bit of both, Jennifer. I'm not sure maybe what your friend said or meant, but Trayvon was predictable in Florida because Florida was ground zero for the original experiments in everybody carry a gun.
Mm-hmm.
It was bound to happen, and the odds were almost overwhelming that it would be a young person of color or a person of color who died in the NRA's experimentation. See, that's another thing we need to understand. The NRA, through what it does, is engaging in involuntary human experimentation. The people who are being experimented upon are involuntary study subjects. Okay, every time somebody gets freedom protected, every time somebody gets Second Amendmented in this country, they become an involuntary study subject in an experiment being conducted by the National Rifle Association. Is that unfair, Angry?
No. I mean, how many times has Zimmerman been busted and accused of pointing rifles at his girlfriend, beating up his father-in-law, threatening other goddamn people, you know? Putting a woman's name and address and her photo, calling her a slut on the goddamn net. You know, he's a fucking piece of work, but he's a hero to these motherfuckers. He hangs out with Steven Seagal now, another piece of work. You know, he's a hero. You know how many motherfuckers run to the video store to rent videos of that I don't even know what to say about him any goddamn more. He's hanging with Putin. He's a pal of Putin. Dana Rohrabacher, he led a fucking contingent of Republicans over to Chechnya. Like I said, these people watch these goddamn... Well, actually, I guess I should say the fact that the Expendables has done a third one that, you know, Americans are so goddamn irrational. And I'm not saying this to be nasty. I'm saying this because fucking Austrian psychiatrists have said this. Americans are fucking irrational. And when you look at, say, like somebody like Quentin Crisp, the gay activist from Britain, you know, he was like, you know, when he go, he said, yeah, when you go to England, people, first thing they ask you is America anything like the movies? Is it like the movies? And he says, oh, it's more like the movies than you would ever fucking believe. And he says, it's true. You know, people watch a film and they try to live out that goddamn character. So when I watch Jack Bauer disembowel a motherfucker at the end of the next to last season of 24, I knew that the United States had completely lost his motherfucking mind. So when a Zimmerman comes around and can shoot a Trayvon Martin who is unarmed, and you, well, I guess even in Australia, even in Oz, they heard the motherfucking 911 call where he said they always get away. After he was told by the 911 goddamn dispatcher to not fucking engage this person. Somebody is coming. We sent the car. And he insisted that they get away. And you hear a short goddamn scuffle after he fucking stalked this man. And he blasted him because he's a goddamn punk and couldn't do fucking hand to hand. But he wants to play cop. So what I'm saying is that you're right, Brother Bob, in, you know, with all of this shit. And yeah. The fucking movies are reflecting the insanity of the NRA. Because I believe that the NRA is involved in what the fuck is happening in movie making. We know that the military fucking vets most of these goddamn action films. That's why you see SWAT and all that bullshit in every goddamn movie. They're using updated Israeli-made weaponry on every fucking new show that I watch. There's an ex-CIA, ex-Special Forces, ex-motherfucking Green Beret. Somebody's always an ex-killer in these goddamn stories who's trying to forget his past, you know, and then something brings it out, and he's got to do justice and go and wipe out all these goddamn people. Nobody knows, you know, I mean, what kind of budget is being spent, you know, on this type of shit to convince Americans that you got to be gunned up and be ready to fight every goddamn 5 minutes. Combat ready. There's even exercise programs here. Combat ready. Boot camp. You know, learn how to fight like a Navy SEAL. All this type of bullshit. You know, and to an Australian, and yeah, there's a lot that can be said about Australia and is said. Some of it is true. Some of it isn't. But I can look at the Cronulla riots, and you can go on YouTube and look at the racism in Australia on public transportation. Okay? Australia is not, you know, outside of this. But the point is, when you're in Australia and you're looking at the United States, you're just like, well, what the fuck? You know, it's like that phone call that Malloy got that time from his regular caller, Blue. Blue was an Australian. He's like, look, we look at this bullshit from outside of the United States. Nobody hates Americans. Most people actually look at American people very favorably. But they're like, just like, hey, God damn it, man. You allow craziness to happen in your fucking country. Then you condone it. Then you make a fucking movie about it, and then people start copying this bullshit. You know, it's crazy. And the only reason we really know about all of this is because we have the fucking internet. Because if it wasn't for the fucking internet, the Bundys would be a small fucking cipher on the entire fucking news blotter. But they're major because the information can be bandied about back and forth. And any fucking fool that's you know, in a fantasy.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned Steven Seagal.
Hmm.
He's just accepted, Ron in Canada just reminded me of this. He's just accepted Serbian citizenship in exchange for opening a martial arts school in Belgrade. It's not a joke. It's the truth.
No, it's Steven Seagal. It's not a joke. He's born and raised in Orange County, California, if that doesn't say anything. And he went over to Japan in 19 to study martial arts. And he's good. I have to give him credit for that bullshit. He's good. He knows his shit. But
well,
the bottom
fucking line, kind of was good, you know? I mean...
Well, he's 60-some-odd fucking years old. I mean, at this point, you know, at a fifth dan is what he is. You know, all you can really do is train politely with people and that's about it. He also is 6'5", and at this goddamn point, probably, 24, 25 goddamn stone. So, you know, cause I saw him recently on YouTube in Russia. He's huge. And, you know, like I said, at his point, he'll make some more fucking films and nobody's going to challenge him and shit. But, you know, he is used to, he speaks Chinese. Well, I don't know about Mandarin, but he does speak Japanese fluently. I know he's multilingual. He has lived around the world. He's lived in different places. So I'm not surprised he's going to Serbia, because you can still be a macho moron in Eastern Europe. You dig what I'm saying? You can still run around like that and pretend that you're still, you know, in the fucking 13th century with your goddamn attitudes. So that's why he's going there. And they'll kiss his ass because he's a fucking movie star. And just about all of these straight-to-video goddamn films anyway are made in fucking Eastern Europe. That's why so many of them are based in Romania and all that type of shit. Because you can spend £5 to make a goddamn film over there and profit off of them. You know, nobody's spending millions of dollars, like multi-millions of dollars on these goddamn films anymore. They're making them for fucking $5 each. £5 each. And Steven Seagal was one of the first. and Stallone, all of them, to be put on that kind of thing. They put them on the shelf for quite a while. But you notice they all made a fucking comeback. Because as this woman in Australia has said, we can see this and it's crazy. But if you look at the movies that come out this motherfucker, well, they're not made here, but they come out of this goddamn country, you see that it's reflective of the bullshit. And that motherfuckers are reflecting this. Speaking of Australia, I just read a goddamn story a couple of days ago that a lot of young women are going to the doctors and hospitals with some major injuries. Sexual injuries.
Well, and the story, and I saw it over on Chris in Germany's Facebook feed, and it just sort of gave me the horrors.
Yeah.
New Year's night in Stuttgart.
Oh yeah, that was another one. That was bad.
Women were a number of women were attacked, assaulted, and the government tried to cover it up. And at first they said, no, there were no immigrants involved. And then, there's deep distrust in the country now.
Yeah, well,
turns out, yeah, some of the new immigrants were involved in these assaults.
Yep. That has to be admitted. That has to be admitted. Because now we're dealing with a strictly, misogynist motherfucking issue, which men don't want to fucking discuss.
And somebody somewhere along the way said, women simply don't need to go out alone. Which, in a pluralistic society that tries to pay attention to women's rights, it caused a great deal of outrage, which it should.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem here is that, you know, who leaps on issues like this? Well, the same people you and I are constantly talking about, angry, the fascists. The right wing in Germany is all over this.
Well, you can't really expect them to not be all over this, because it falls right into their thing.
Oh, it's a hanging curveball in their wheelhouse.
You know, and this is again where I'm upset with the left. Now, the left in Europe, I haven't seen too much. I've only heard some rumors, whispers of things. But you know, they don't know what to really say about this, because they don't want to condemn this particular group that's already having their ass kicked over their shoulders anyway. But the thing about it is, it happened. And it happened because of, you know, the types of attitudes that come out of these backgrounds. And I want to point out that when you're dealing with fucking refugee situations, when you're dealing with people who have absolutely nothing, they prey upon each other. But what makes this particularly insidious is that they're in another goddamn country that a lot of them were new arrivals, I regret to say. And, you know, their way of fucking acclimating to shit is to join a bunch of other fucking men that they don't know, attacking women that they don't fucking know. The same thing happened in Egypt during the uprising. The same thing happened in Tunisia, I understand, to a limited degree, during the uprising there. This happens in a lot of goddamn different places. And if I really think about it hard enough, there were a couple of actions that turned into riots that I was involved in when I was young. That again, to a limited degree, I did see shit like that. And, you know, and women have to fucking start, you know, making men talk about this. You know, it's like, you know, why do motherfuckers do this? Is it because they think that they can get away with it? Is it because this is a sudden bit of power that they have over these females who they know can't defend themselves? We really need to be having that goddamn discussion. But the German far right, they're going to play this, and Marie Le Pen in France, they're going to play this as far as they goddamn can. And it's really hard to defend against it because it happened. It happened. But as the left, as people who support refugees, what are we going to fucking do about this? And where does the criticism go?
Exactly. And the answers are not, and see, that's what separates us from, say, the right wing. The answers are not readily apparent.
No, because it comes into a lot of, you know, as Jean-Paul Sartre would say, can a man condemn himself? Can I, as a male, sit here and say, okay, well, there's an excuse or such and such for what happened? Yeah, we need to look for reasons to prevent it from happening again in terms of fixing the culture. Because when, like what we were talking about earlier with gun culture, we have to deal with people. You can take the guns from motherfuckers and make all these different laws, and you can limit all the fucking refugees and shit you want. But if men don't change their goddamn attitude, and if other men don't fucking start checking men on shit like that, this is going to fucking perpetuate. Just like with racism, a lot of white people don't want to call the fucking Bundy bastards terrorists and shit because they're white. They identify with it, and they don't really want to fucking come down on it because they're afraid to be coming down on themselves when they look in the mirror. Well, it's the same thing with fucking misogyny. Men have to start saying, well, goddamn, what the fuck is this happening? Is this right? No, it isn't goddamn right. And I'm a male? Yeah. Does this reflect on me as a male? Fucking yes. All the more reason I need to fucking do something about it. I need to say something about it. That's the discussion that they should be having in Germany. And the refugee community needs to be coming down on their goddamn men for fucking doing this. The ones who did it. And coming down on other men who may be silently condoning this shit. Thinking, oh, okay, well, these white people don't like us anyway, so this is justified. Because that is a real attitude. It's a wrong attitude.
Well, one of the victims reported that one of the attackers said to her, I'm an immigrant. You have to be nice to me.
Well, see, that's some male bullshit. He was using that shit as a goddamn excuse. That was just some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
See, that was just some bullshit. That was just some bullshit. But see, the thing about it is, the left.
But the problem with the story, though.
Huh?
The problem with the story, though, is A, it happened. But in the wake of it happening, if I understood the story correctly as I read it on Chris's feed, the government tried to cover it up.
Which looks extremely goddamn bad. But we know why they did that. The same reason Obama's scared to say anything about these fucking white bigots in this fucking country.
Ding, 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 and dots get connected, and we have a winner. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And again, that wouldn't happen if the left was on their fucking shit. They don't know, or we, because I don't consider myself left, but I get lumped with this thing, don't know how to fucking deal with the contradictions within your own group. As an indigenous person, which is neither left nor right, that is, when you look at the Zapatistas, when you look at the Black Panther Party, to some respects, and American Indian Movement for damn sure, the women had to confront the males in the group and say, look, what the fuck is your goddamn problem? We got a struggle going on here, and I don't have time to put up with your goddamn testosterone poisoning. So fucking what the fuck is your problem, and work it
Right, as Jack in Shreveport points out, there's a right-wing radio host, and neither of us can remember his name, who labels himself and touts himself as being an alpha male.
I think I know who you're talking about.
This stuff is being marketed.
Yeah, of course.
And, well, I got no answers. I mean, you're right. Barack Obama is probably going to be is he afraid to, or are we being better than them, or are we taking the high road by not mentioning them? You know, maybe I don't know. Maybe because I don't get the memo every morning, angry. Maybe I'm not supposed to be talking about this story. Maybe we're just supposed to pretend it doesn't exist while 15-year-old little girls cower in fear inside their own homes in Harney County, Oregon.
Well, I'm sure the National Security Council meets with the president, whichever one it is, every goddamn morning, suggested to him, stay the fuck out of it. Because there are white people who claim that they're not bigoted, but they will jump up if you fucking come after these white folks. See, it's okay to stomp down on Mexican immigrants who are marching in California with their children and elders. Beat and mace them, that's okay. Ferguson, we can do that to them. They're niggers. Baltimore, we can do that. They're Negroes.
But we don't know, and I honestly, just based on its own data, I don't think the federal government is comfortable trying to formulate some idea of just how deeply the sedition and treason and insurrectionist and insurgency movement runs in the white community in this country, Angry.
Well, I think they know because I read all the public shit that they make available to the fucking public, and Napolitano, who I did not particularly care for, made it fucking clear the Republicans do not want us to go any further. Now, she didn't say it out like that, but that's what the fuck you got, because when they came out with the report on who was the real threat in this country, it turned out it wasn't Muslims, and it turned out it wasn't black people, because black people hurt each other. They hurt themselves. Natives, we hurt ourselves. Other people beat the fuck out of us, but we hurt ourselves because of the goddamn conditions in which we're forced to live. All right? That's the fucking bullshit. And, you know, double standard, dichotomies. Oh, yeah. If Barack Obama, look, all he did was say that Trayvon Martin could have been his son, could have, you know, looked like it could have been his son. And what happened? You know, how many fucking white liberals were like, oh, he's making this racial. Why is he doing this? Well, why did he have to do that? So no matter what the man says, they're going to fucking come down on him. No matter what he does, he saves Wall Street. Saves white America from his fucking self, right? Doesn't support black people at all. Hasn't put on his comfortable shoes to march with the fight for 15 people, you know, 1 minute. He doesn't do anything. Okay, he hasn't done, he's done, well, I can't say he hasn't done anything. He's doing what he's supposed to do for the system, which is what I expected of him. But I also expected him to not do anything about us, and he didn't. You know, so these moves that he's making in these last few days don't mean anything. But that was enough. I bet you, Brother Bob, I bet you that was enough. That, because they've been planning this for months now. You know this, and I already knew this.
Yeah, they didn't plan it well, but they've been planning it.
They've been planning this. So they're like, okay, he's only got so much time. If we make a move right before the primaries with the GOP, then maybe we can get something going. And if it goes wrong or whatever, we can just blame it on the Negro in the White House. And it's not our responsibility. And they know that the average white person out here who swears to, you know, Jesus Christ and 12 other white men that they see in that painting hanging in their church, right? That, hey, man, you know, if Obama says anything, if he does anything, if one of them gets a goddamn hangnail and shit and a federal officer pulls it the fuck off, they're going to blame him and say that he's got an anti-white agenda. And why did he make this racial? That's why they're not saying it. And I don't know if it's him or his advisors that are like, look, man, hey, you know, PBO, it's best you not say anything about this, Holmes, because if this shit gets out of hey, man, they're going to blame you and say that you hate white people for real because, you know, hey, don't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Let's take it easy and maybe this shit will pass over, you know, before you get out of office and, you know, we can forget about it.
Yeah, then, you know, let President Trump deal with it.
And let Trump deal with it. See, you and I both know that fucking first off, Trump, you know, agrees with them. But Trump is too much of a goddamn power maniac. So there's no way he's going to let anybody fucking embarrass the fuck out of him.
Well, see? I mean, he's already said that he could make it go away with a phone call.
Yeah, but see, here's the other thing. His campaign goddamn person is in fucking Oregon. He's here in Burns. Well, not here in Burns, but here in Oregon at the goddamn compound with the Bundys. His wife just went on MSNBC or whatever the fuck it was and lied her ass off, talking about, I've never been political. Yeah, but, you know, he's making me, you know, take, you know, want to do something without telling anybody that she's a sitting goddamn representative in the state of New Hampshire. Sue DeLemus. Well, this is her husband, yeah. You know, who's got his goddamn tactical gear, and he packed up and left the Trump campaign to go help out over there. And they've met with GOP people. Isn't that funny? You know, they don't want Obama to talk to Iran, but these motherfuckers met with domestic terrorists. Isn't that funny? They don't want Sean Penn to talk to El Chapo, who says, you know what? You know why I'm a drug dealer? Because there was nothing else to do. There was no other goddamn work over there. There's nothing to do. So I became a drug dealer because you motherfuckers buy this dope.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So we're going to stomp on Penn.
And the idea that we're going to, he's going to be extradited to the United States, we are going to kill him so good.
Yeah, but as Ms. Angry Indian said to me this morning, who I have to point out, because to my goddamn chagrin, is not political, was just like, well, what the fuck are they bringing him up here for? He tore up Mexico. I'm like, exactly. they want to talk about overreach.
They're gonna kill him something fierce. Hey, Angry, I got to get out of here, brother. It's been a great conversation.
All right, my man, you be cool. And hey, if you guys can cough up some coins to keep this air on, you know, this program on the air, please. I know it's hard out here, but do what you can to keep Bob on the air. Peace.
Thank you, Angry. Thank you. And what he says is true. I want to extend thanks to Jennifer and Graham, and thanks to the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan. We started out with a $380 fundraising goal. It's now down to $310, and thank you both very kindly. Thank you very kindly indeed. So tomorrow's fundraising goal, barring some subscriptions coming in or some dramatic activity overnight, we're looking at about a $510 fundraising goal for prayer meeting Wednesday, and that's going to mean a whole bunch of plate passing. But thank you. Thank you for keeping this on the air. Thank you so very much. And by the way, I've got when the topic, maybe tomorrow, I've got a travel report from Chris in Germany. She recently went over to London, had a wonderful time, and took the time to send me a thumbnail of what she did. It's really cool. So, prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow, right? Right. I'm going to bail out of here and go and get under the covers, because we're on our way down to some ugly tonight, and it just doesn't get real warm in here. So far, we're only down to 55 degrees. By the time morning comes, it'll probably be a rock-solid 40 in here, if not lower. Yeah, hate to waste the energy, but all the computers are going to stay on and hopefully be self-warming. At any rate, have a wonderful evening. Thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this ongoing conversation, however you so do. Thank you to everyone whose support goes to keeping us on the air. Thanks. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room, and our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. And thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.